Hey guys, welcome back to Clownfish TV. This is Neon. I'm not here with Geeky Sparkles. I'm going to talk about video games. I'm going to talk about the culture wars. Oh, sorry. I have to get my voice changer out. The culture war. The culture war. We're going to talk. Sorry, I just love doing that. It's so funny. This is my real voice, by the way. Don't worry. This is what I actually sound like. People say it's weird and they see me on camera. They're like, that's the cartoon voice coming out of this guy's face. And it's very weird. But we're going to talk about Gamergate. We're going to talk about video games. We're going to talk about the culture war. And we're going to talk about how this article seems to indicate that the Gamergate side, or the right wing side, I guess, whatever side you think conservatives are on, they're eating each other. And I can't tell if this guy is for it or against it. I'm actually looking through this article and I'm going to react to it. I want a fresh reaction on this one because it's an opinion piece. It's not actually news, but it's interesting that we're still talking about Gamergate more than 10 years after Gamergate was a thing, but it keeps coming up, right? And the weird thing is that I'm not saying this guy in particular, but the weird thing is that the video game media outlets like Kotaku and Polygon, like, they were stoking the fires. They were hoping Gamergate 2 would happen, and they tried to start it on a couple of different occasions. And eventually, the Sweet Baby Ink thing, I think, led to what we would consider the second wave of Gamergate, or whatever you want to call it, basically gamer backlash. My personal opinion is it's more of a consumer push against AAA gaming and all the DEI stuff that's in modern gaming now. And also beyond that, beyond the politics, just the price gouging, developers shipping unfinished games, developers running at the mouth on social media. All these things kind of create the perfect storm, right? And a lot of gamers, a lot of Gen Z, which is surprising, are going back to playing old games. In fact, my daughter, I'm very proud of her. She had me help her hook up the old PS2 the other night. She took it up to her bedroom and we had an HDMI adapter for it. And she hooked it up because she wanted to play Space Channel 5 and some of the older PS2 games. That PlayStation 2 is older than she is. Geeky got me that when we first got married, and she bought me that, and Final Fantasy X and Kingdom Hearts and and Super Bombad Racing for some reason. But I still have a soft spot for that game. I mean, it's floaty and the load times are atrocious and it's all prequel trilogy, but I actually liked it. And I wish they would have done a follow-up. Anyway, we're going to talk about that. Cause yeah, a lot of people pivoting from new games, and it just feels like the whole house of cards is collapsing, doesn't it? On so many levels, cause we've got all these gaming news websites collapsing because they're no longer sustainable due to a couple of things. One, the venture capital ran out, which we told you was going to happen because I talked to people who invest in this kind of stuff all the time because we were actually looking to get into more investing at some point. And I'm like, yeah, hell no, I'm not buying any more websites. So we had that. And we had Google changing the algorithm to focus more on AI-generated answers and less on sending traffic to standalone websites. And then after that, we had all the ad rates bottoming out because those websites are not getting the ad rates they're getting before because nobody's visiting them, right? So the traffic went down. People are taking their money. They're spending on, you know, YouTube or podcasts or, you know, Disney Plus or whatever the hell they want to spend it on. But they're not spending on websites. So we have the gaming media collapsing. Plus, nobody goes to websites because they don't trust most of these journalists anymore. And then on top of that, we have AAA gaming collapsing under its own weight. And then we have this Gamergate 2.0 happening again. So, I mean, it's just kind of the perfect storm, right? And again, politics are part of it. I don't think politics are necessarily the main driver of it now. Politics certainly are to play in the backlash, but it really is a lot of self-destruction. The industry basically blew itself up. Right. But they're going to blame Gamergate. And they do. These journalists are like, if it wasn't for Gamergate coming back, we'd all be fine. I'm like, no, you wouldn't, because there are people working in other areas of entertainment and media that are not fine. And they're subject to the same macroeconomic headwinds, I guess, that you are. And, you know, they're not bitching about Gamergate because Gamergate had nothing to do with it. It's just a sign of the times and the free monies run out. But let's talk about this. This guy said or claimed that he almost got canceled. And again, I'm looking at this with mostly fresh eyes. I did skim through it, but he's talking about how culture warriors are eating themselves. And I will say this is true. We actually did a video about this before. You know, I've said on multiple occasions, I said when, you know, people have a very loose affiliation because they have a common enemy, and it's a very tenuous alliance because they have a common enemy. When that enemy is more or less vanquished or minimized, or the threat is minimized, those natural divides, those natural fault lines are going to become more and more apparent with people, because a lot of people got into the culture war. They got into the culture war for different reasons. Some people got into it by accident. In our case, we got into it by accident. We kind of got pushed into it, which I thought was really stupid. Other people ran toward the fire. They wanted to get into it because they wanted a cause, and they're like, now's my chance to push back against whatever I think the problems are in society right now. You had other people that were obviously not into pop culture, not into video games, not into anime, not into any of that stuff. Matt Walsh, deciding they're going to weigh in on it because, you know, views, and then you get the whole grifter subculture because of it. Some people want things to get better. I'm in the camp that wants things to get better. Some people don't want things to ever get better, because if they get better, then there's no more money to be made from the outrage. But I'm actually seeing it kind of atrophy in naturally, right? It's hard to talk specifically about being, you know, anti-woke stuff or whatever it is, when a lot of that stuff is either pivoting, as we're seeing, like all these DEI mandates just getting blown out of the water at this point. And a lot of the newer entertainment coming out isn't as quote unquote woke as it would have been, you know, just a couple of years ago. Not because the studios feel differently, but because they know that the public won't support it. And also just boredom. I think people are tired of talking about it all the time. And it basically defined 2016, 2017 through 2024. Well, I'd say 2022. I would say things started to pivot. I noticed a shift in 2022, and we talked about it then. I got all kinds of shit. I'm like, it looks like the pendulum is going to start swinging. People are like, this is no longer sustainable. And all it took was for the money to run out. And people are like, no, it's never going to end. And look, to be honest, it's never going to end on some level, because you're always going to have people that want to commandeer entertainment for activism because it's a huge platform. I would say in that case, you need to be more selective in your entertainment, and you need to reward publishers and entertainers and studios and game developers who actually produce content that isn't overly political. I'm not saying it has to be apolitical, like zero political content whatsoever, but it's not overly political, and the people making the stuff don't actively hate you if you voted differently than them. And basically just go back to normal. And I don't know if we can go back to normal. Anyway, those are my opinions. I made minutes into the video, and I haven't even looked at this guy's article yet. So this is going to be a long one, guys. This is going to be a long one. Before we get into it any further, we're into it pretty far, 8 minutes into it. Please subscribe for more pop culture news, views, and rants, guys. If you're missing updates, go out to clownfishtv.substack.com. Sign up for notifications. You will get an email notification every time we post a new video, because YouTube is not really notifying people anymore. And no, I don't think it's in that case with YouTube, I don't think it's a political thing. I think it's just the way that their algorithm works now. They're recommending content, I think, on a more personal level, and it's AI infused. It's an AI infused fever dream at this point. So just because you're subscribed to somebody doesn't mean you're going to see their content. That's what my understanding is. So this comes from Unheard. The return of Gamergate culture. Oh, I got to make sure it's muffled. Culture warriors. Got to get that voice in there so I sound like I'm serious. Culture warriors are killing their own. Says Ryan Zickraff. I don't know who this guy is. And again, this is my really my first look at this article. So people might be like yelling at me in the comments. Like, I don't know who this guy is. And they're going to be like, don't you know he's that guy who did XYZ thing that other YouTubers talked about? I'm like, I don't really pay attention to other YouTubers very much. But okay, I just thought this was interesting. He said there was a memorable line from The Dark Knight that sums up the curious trajectory of Czech video game developer Daniel Vavra. You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Oh, we're talking about Kingdom Come Deliverance. Okay. Gamer, that's a hot topic. You can't talk about Kingdom Come Deliverance without pissing people off. I haven't played the game yet. I'm only vaguely aware of what's going on, but I know that this one has become very polarizing. Gamergate, an idiosyncratic consumer revolt of angry gamers against the video game industry and journalists that erupted in 2014. That actually, I would say this is actually the most accurate. This is the most accurate description. I wish this was the description of Wikipedia. This is the most accurate description of Gamergate. An idiosyncratic consumer revolt of angry gamers against the video game industry and journalists that erupted in 2014. I think that's accurate. People are angry. They're angry about the state of video games. They're angry about the state of journalism. And they were consumers who revolted. And we're seeing it now. It had a long tail, right? People are still not buying games. So it made Warhorse Games folk heroes for not embracing DEI in their development of a game called Kingdom Come Deliverance. But in the wake of Trump and Elon Musk's political triumph, he's been branded insufficiently anti-woke. Gamergate keeps waging new battles against every phantom of woke cultural depiction, no matter how minor, illustrating the Sisyphean nature of the online culture wars. It's a virtual game no one can ever truly win. Yeah, I guess that's the thing. I guess that's the thing, because I do remember, like, there was a boycott. People were like, no, we're going to support your game because it's not woke. I do remember this. I haven't played it, though. I honestly haven't played it. What is the end game? I mean, seriously, like, what is the end game? I think it depends on who you ask. You know, some people just want things to go back to normal. Some people just want to be allowed to work in the industry. Some people are not going to be happy until, you know, we go back. I mean, I'm happy with going back to 2002 or even hell, 2012. Some people want to go back to 1952. I'm not one of those people. Good luck with that. But, you know, it's like, I don't know what to tell you. But, you know, so everybody kind of wants, I think they want different things. So that's the thing. You have to decide what is the end game. And that's where the fault lines are erupting, I think, in all of this, is everybody wants something different. Some people were just like, I just don't want all this woke stuff in my games. And once we go back to where things were, I'm good. And they're good. Other people are like, no, we have to destroy, burn it all down, start over again. And there are people with that attitude. They want to burn everything down, start all over again. I think it's too far gone. I'm not quite there yet. But I do think just Darwinism will rear its head. Darwinism will decide which companies survive and which ones die because the consumers don't support them. So yeah, he said that, he's talking about activists accusing Warhorse Games of racism for not including people of color from a game set in rural 15th century Bohemia. And, you know, Netflix enters the chat. He defended as part of a commitment to historical accuracy. Again, Netflix would disagree with you. The controversy prompted him to speak out against the wokeification of the game industry. The future of our business is at stake, and progressive media are destroying it with their hateful narrative. That is correct. The keyboard jockeys of Gamergate, the keyboard jockeys. And I wasn't around for, guys, I was not around for Gamergate. So don't be like, Gamergator, Clownfish TV. No, I wasn't around for Gamergate. I was vaguely aware of it. I was doing other stuff. We were running theme park blogs and doing other stuff then. I was going to Disney World neat and good when Gamergate went down. I didn't give a shit. I didn't care about any of this stuff. I'd buy games I liked. Mostly I play retro games anyway or indie titles on PC. So I wasn't really paying attention to it. And I don't read Kotaku. I don't read Polygon. I never have. Only the point and laugh. So I didn't know all this stuff was going on. I was vaguely aware of it, but I definitely was not involved in it. It said it got ugly. Warhorse got hate mail from progressives and news outlets such as Vice refused to cover Kingdom Come. That sounds about right. Vavra likened the backlash to living in the USSR. I had the privilege of growing up in a totalitarian communist regime, he told a games journalist in 2015. So I have a firsthand experience with censorship and going to prison for your opinion or shitty propaganda on TV, in literature or music. He says what sparked it all was a laughably low stakes morass involving the ex-boyfriend of a game developer who posted an angry rant about their relationship online. Each side of Gamergate insisted they had the moral high ground, with each one claiming they were defending ethics in video game journalists. Basically, nerds fighting over a relatively, well, I guess video games aren't niche, but like the whole like video game journalism scene is pretty niche. And then it escalated. That's my understanding of it. Trying to go back and look like that, it really spiraled out of control. And bonfires start with a match, right? So that's kind of what happened. And it was a lot of things. It wasn't just that. I think basically that was the tipping point for people to air every grievance that they've ever had about the video game industry and all that. The other side said misogynists lashing out women in gaming. More broadly, Gamergate was kind of a clash of online civilizations. They said the dynamic, according to Angela Nagel, Kill All Normies, the dynamic is a hysterical liberal call-out culture producing a breeding ground for an online backlash of irreverent mockery and anti-PC. God, these people are so wordy. In other words, two sides of the same coin, shrieking online bubbles, one self-righteous and woke and the other conservative and or trollish that worked out the same terrible playbook, bad faith character assassination, public shaming, or getting someone fired. Yeah, I'm seeing that going on now. And I got to tell you, I mean, most of it, at least early on, came from the left. I am seeing some people on the right doing that too. And I don't necessarily agree with that unless the person actually had it coming, but you know, to call, I don't know. This is like, it's crazy. We got, and this has come from somebody who we just got into it. God, it's been a hell of a month. I mean, for us, like we haven't had any problems with anybody for a long time. And then all of a sudden we get like two or three big kerfuffles this month. But, one instance, there was a comic convention that we actually supported and other people did videos on. We weren't going to do a video on it because I really, you know, I mean, I appreciate the support and everything, but like anybody that knows the showrunner, the promoter for that convention knows this guy is very, very far left. But yeah, everybody was melding down on Facebook about Trump's inauguration and Doge. And I don't poke the beehive on Facebook. I barely post on Facebook. I barely use Facebook. I think it's clunky and ridiculous and I don't use it. Other than Messenger to talk to my kids or whatever. But I said, hey, it's kind of ironic that everybody's using Facebook to complain about Trump supporters when Facebook is run by a huge Trump supporter. And they're probably using their Apple phones to, you know, take a shit on Trump supporters. Again, Apple now, Tim Cook, a huge Trump supporter. He actually gave Trump, what was it, like $50 million out of his own pocket? I mean, come on. And that prompted the promoter to jump in and say that, you know, he believed all Trump supporters were literal Yahtzees. And my wife pushed back. She's like, what the hell is up with that? Why would you post that, especially as someone running a convention in a rural not really rural area, but a very conservative area. And it's a bad look. Like you're going to ask people when they come to the con, you know, if they're conservative or liberal or whatever. So yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of nuttery out there, but I am seeing people on the right doing it. I'm seeing a lot of people that were allies a year or two ago, eating each other now. And, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you know, some people, what's the saying? I'm probably going to mangle this badly, but, you know, you can take the soldier out of the war, but you can't take the war out of the soldier. Is that the quote? I feel like that's, I'm pretty close to it. I don't remember exactly what it is, but that's what this feels like. Like, I think people have been fighting for so long that if there's nobody left to fight because everything has been blown up already, they're just going to start fighting each other for scraps. You know, it's like, I don't know. And even if you try to stay out of it, you still get pulled into it. And sometimes, you know, it's just like, it's weird. It's a weird world. So Gamergate might sound arcane now, but it was a perfect moral panic for the peak Twitter era, a funhouse mirror version of the scapegoating of video games in the 80s, 90s. Yeah, I remember that. I think a lot of the people that got involved don't remember that. They're very young. And since I am a man of a certain age, I remember the satanic panic. It was real. I don't think it was as widespread maybe in certain areas as people made it out to be, but it definitely was real when it came to heavy metal music and Dungeons and Dragons and anything that looked like it could potentially be satanic was you know, some people were rallying against TV shows, movies, horror movies. And also the 90s, you know, we had Tipper Gore. It was Tipper Gore who was like, you know, Mortal Kombat and Doom are awful. We need to ban them. It was like, I remember all that. I remember it. Blaming games for society's ills used to be a bipartisan effort. Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Joe Biden have all tried to restrict them. Yeah. Biden called game developers little creeps who make games that teach people how to kill. Wow. Instead of being blamed for inspiring school shooters, can I say that? Gamergate became a useful liberal talking point among Democrats. They said video games power to allegedly groom young white males and turn them into bitter incels and extreme right wingers. Yeah, there was this whole theory that like, this is the alt-right pipeline. If you play Fortnite, they literally have, I'm not even kidding. You can go Google it. There was an article on the New York Times called From Fortnite to Alt-Right. And it was talking about how this woman felt her 11-year-old son was being indoctrinated into the alt-right by playing video games and watching YouTubers and video game culture. For most of the lifespan, the movement looked like a lost cause. It became a reliable punching bag for the mainstream media, part of the founding myth of the alt-right. And then we get into like some hardcore theory here, QAnon, Trump's presidency, et cetera. Trump is even being called the Gamergate. The Gamergate of Republican politicians. Vox argued that Gamergate was a watershed moment and learning experience for many future Trump supporters. Oh, for God's sake. Does Trump play games? I don't feel like he plays games. We know Elon Musk does. Now, there's some controversy about how good he is at it, but we know he at least plays games. For his part, Steve Bannon admits he viewed Gamergate as an opportunity for recruiting what he labeled rootless white males into a standing right-wing army online. Oh, for God's sake. Yeah, that was the whole thing. You can activate that army, he told Joshua Green. They come in through Gamergate or whatever, and then they get turned in, on to politics and Trump. And that there probably is a pipeline there in the commentary space, but we have a lot. I'm going to be honest. This is my personal opinion. Right-wing commentators, a lot of them, I would say most of them, the hard right, right? The people that they're obsessed with politics, that they just like on and on and on all day about politics. They're not fun people. They're not fun people to be around. They're not playing video games. They think it's a waste of time. They think it's stupid. They're not watching cartoon shows. They think it's all a waste of time and stupid. They're not reading comic books. They're not, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying everybody, I want to be very clear. People are individuals, right? But it has been my experience that if anything, that gamer revolt has been co-opted by both sides of the aisle, trying to use video games and entertainment as a hockey puck. And we have the Matt Walshes out there that clearly don't give a shit about any of this stuff any more than, you know, some talking head or, you know, Liz Mercante or whatever over at Kotaku doesn't give a shit about it. And it's obvious they don't give a shit about it. It's just, it's clicks and money and whatever. You know, I miss the days when we had, and I know it's the old man in me, when we had EGM and everybody working at EGM played games. They worked there because they played and they loved games, and it was that simple. They played and loved games, and they left the politics at the door, but we can't have that. So Gamergate had the opposite effect. Games got more identitarian, not less, since 2014. That is true. Basically, you look at a game now, and you're like, is this game woke or not woke? You know, what camp is this game in? Okay, we're going to keep an eye on that dev. What are they saying on Twitter? If they say something I don't like or something I think is woke, then I might not buy their game. As Gamergate's online forces fume, new games increasingly incorporate more racially diverse characters and LGBTQ storylines. I think I think it was out of spite. I think there were some people that were like, we're going to take gaming back. But a lot of these people, again, they weren't really gamers. They weren't really fun people. They were activists who wanted to use the platform to own their, who they believed were their political adversaries. And all that happened was you cratered the AAA gaming space completely. Like, it's completely cratered at this point. Like, all these companies are going out of business. It's insane. I've never seen anything like it. I think it's ultimately going to be course correction, but we basically are undoing the last 8 to 10 years of really, really bad decisions. And a lot of it, I think, was to own the chuds. I think it was like, well, we'll show you, I'm going to get a job in the gaming industry and I'm going to make your favorite character a black woman now. And you're not going to like it. And then I'm going to go out there on social media, make videos about it. And if you say anything, I'm going to put you on blast with my friends over at Kotaku. It's like, what the fuck? Dragon Age Veilguard, you get a call out for misgendering a non-binary character. An eye-rolling inducing HR lecture in a fantasy game about dragons. Yes, and that is why people didn't buy it. That's a big part why they didn't buy it. Perhaps not for long. As others have noted, there's been a noticeable vibe shift against progressive politics and political correctness. Game journalists and activists failed miserably in their attempt to at a reverse Gamergate, a boycott of Hogwarts Legacy. Yes, that was the biggest, like, what the hell? Now the media says that Rowling may have just won the culture war. Yeah, she did. Actually, Hogwarts Legacy became the, I believe, the highest selling game that year and made Warner Brothers a ton of money, which they burnt. They burnt on Suicide Squad. They lost a bunch of money the following year because they let DEI into Suicide Squad and gamers wouldn't have it. Complaints about Assassin's Creed Shadows' use of a black samurai hero in a game about historical Japan led to the game being delayed 3 months until early 2025 to better incorporate player feedback. Come on. Wired was calling that Gamergate 2. No, I think Gamergate 2 was Cabrutus and Sweet Baby Inc. It's all related, though. I mean, it is all related. What they don't mention is that Japanese gamers have been the most vocal and got over 100,000 signatures for a petition to cancel the game, saying it's a serious insult to Japanese culture and history and may be linked to Asian racism. In this case, the politics of cultural appropriation butted up against the underrepresentation of black characters and won. Then Trump's reelection came. We've got outspoken Gamergator. Are they calling Elon Musk a Gamergator? Was he? Well, I guess he, I don't know. He suddenly had incredible power. Some game developers have started to pitch themselves as anti-DEI. Yeah. While liberals' attempts to invoke Gamergate as rallying cries falling on deaf ears. Yeah, nobody cares. I forgot about that. Yeah, we covered that before. The Warriors. Yeah, they tried to Lin-Manuel Miranda tried to do this concept album. I think probably is like a concept for a Broadway musical as a reboot of the Warriors. And it was supposed to be based on Gamergate. Nobody gave a shit. Dragon Age Veilguard earned half the expected sales. Concord, a target of Gamergate for its gender fluid characters and awkward pronouns, got shut down after only 2 weeks. Yeah. It's no wonder there's been a distinct tone of triumph amongst the extremely online denizens of Kotaku in action. They have 157,000 members. I'm really surprised. And I don't know the whole thing with Kotaku in action, but I'm really surprised that Reddit has not tried to shut them down or has not shut them down the way Reddit's going right now. Like, I'm shocked. They said they've gone so far as to declare a victory in the battle against the social justice warriors 10 fucking years after the thing. We were proven to be right, even though anyone not dishonest or mentally disabled knew we were right all along. One poster proclaimed recently in a thread titled Gamergate 1, now that we won, can games start being good again? I said that culture wars were basically won about 2 years ago. There definitely was a shift. But again, we have people that don't, their goals are not necessarily for things to go back to normal pre-2014. Their goal is to roll the clock back even further or swing the pendulum the other direction. And that's going to be a challenge because you're going to make some enemies along the way. People that were former allies are going to turn on you. It is what it is. There are no clear conditions for victory and little interest in calling for a truce. So the crusade keeps expanding to absurd lengths until it begins to resemble the thing that progressives accused of being, a right-wing reactionary political force. Gamergate went from being about games journalism to a wider culture war to what is now culture war. I have to do that. I need to do that as a soundbite. Culture warrior. A last attempt to stop globalists from taking full authoritarian control of the West. That's a lot of things that are all interrelated, but video games are a huge platform, right? So it is culturally significant, just like movies, just like, you know, people bitching about Disney, but Disney is a huge influence. We wouldn't have anime if it wasn't for Disney. Early anime was inspired by Disney animation. That's why all the characters have large eyes, and then it kind of went off on its own evolutionary path. What does it mean to Reddit to post your way to a populist right-wing crusade against globalists? Not much. It's easier to keep targeting video games for wokeness, no matter how petty the offense. Just ask Warhorse Games. So the sequel to Kingdom Come includes an optional same-sex romance option. An optional same-sex romance option and an added element of racial diversity because the game is set in the Czech city of Gutenberg, which, like other cities in the Holy Roman Empire, was the hub of trade and cultural exchange. Okay. So he said they're going for historical accuracy. So there will be a black samurai in Gutenberg. They have the Jewish quarter. Gamergaters accused them of going woke, began boycotting the game. Like, look, I can't speak to this one. Right. And I know a lot of other, we haven't done a single video on this because I haven't played the game and I'm only vaguely paying attention to it. Cause honestly, historical games like this bore the shit out of me. I'd rather fly a spaceship and blow stuff up. I'd rather, you know what I'm saying? I'd rather play a JRPG. These kinds of games, it may be a very good game, I don't know, but they bore me, so I don't play them. I'm like, I don't want to play, let's pretend, living in some era when it's just as boring as now, but even more boring because there's no TV. I mean, like, I don't know. But yeah, so people are, so that's my take on it. I just, and no offense to the developer, no offense to people who love it, hate it. I don't really care. Just, I'm, this is not a game I intend to play because it does not interest me. Your miles may vary, right? Yeah, but people are saying it's a gay, woke, historically inaccurate DEI game. Vavra is speaking out against his former comrades. It turns out that we're once again in the middle of a rather bizarre culture war, this time from the opposite side than usual. I'd rather, they said that his colleague said Warhorse would rather not be connected to any political battle. It seems like someone is always trying to get us or to brand us somehow. We are just trying to make a cool video game. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 has been a critical darling and sold over 2 million copies in the first 2 weeks. The sentiment in Kotaku in Action is that the Gamergate boycott of the game may have been an overreach. It's lame when anyone of any political or cultural stripe engages in a witch hunt or purity test, even especially when it isn't sincere. Who wants to play some video games instead? Why are people... This guy actually seems pretty solid. Hey, he's from PA too. Yeah, I think this is why a lot of people are going back to old games too. They don't want to deal with this shit. They don't want to deal with culture war shit. Like, hey, all the discussion around Mortal Kombat 1 happened back in like 1992. Like, it's over, it's done with. I can just go back and play it. Nobody gives a shit. But every game that comes out, especially every AAA title, I don't know if you'd consider this one AAA or not, AA, there's always controversy. But people, the reason this is happening, and this kind of goes, and I know this video's run long, guys. There's a lot of things to unpack here. But the reason this is happening now is even when a game isn't what I would consider woke, but maybe like 90s era, you know, diversity, inclusion, whatever. The reason people get their backs up now, and it's really unfortunate because anytime you have a piece of media that has any black people or any gay people in it or whatever, immediately people are like, oh my God, it's woke. And it might be. Usually it's shorthand. I go by the haircut. I go by the hairstyle. Do you have a side shave and blue hair and that's your protagonist? Yeah. Okay. That's usually shorthand for woke game. But the unfortunate truth is that because gamers are so jaded, they look for warning signs, even if it's not really an accurate indicator. One of the best examples I can think of recently was Disney's Haunted Mansion movie. People were kind of like, oh, look, it's almost all black people and it's going to be woke. I'm like, and it was the guy who did Dear White People. I forget his name off the top of my head, but yeah, so he did it. So of course, you know, people are like, oh my God, this is going to be woke. Race never comes up in the movie at all. It's just, it takes place in New Orleans. New Orleans has a lot of black folks. I mean, it's just, it does. Have you ever been there? It's, yeah, there's a lot of black people in New Orleans. It is what it is, right? But like we used to watch movies and TV shows with diverse leads and diverse people in the 80s, 90s, and nobody complained. 70s. And people, I mean, I'm sure some people complain about it, just don't watch the show. There's lots of other shows, you know, with white folks in it. You can watch whatever the hell you want to watch. But like, the complaints weren't as loud as they are now. And I think the internet, you know, magnifies that. But no, the reason everybody is looking at everything under a microscope is because they're jaded. Over 10 years of being burnt and told you're awful and told, you know what I'm saying? And when you see somebody, I think, and again, I haven't played this game, so I can't speak to it. But when you see somebody who was on quote unquote your side, maybe, not doing what you would expect them to do, or including elements that you have branded woke or shorthand for woke, you're going to be incredibly skeptical, right? I would like things to go back to normal. I don't know if things are going to go back to normal anytime soon. I think it's going to take people basically getting over the PTSD from Gamergate. And that's what it is, right? It's like, I mean, I know it's just like an online thing, but it spilled over into real life. And it was a war. It's a culture war. But I think that it's going to take a while for people to get over that and learn to trust again. You know, but I have noticed that the media, for the most part, is cooling it with the anti-gamer talk. Probably because there's no journalists left. They've all been replaced with robots. But you know what I'm saying? So wait 5 years. Maybe everybody will kind of come around to being like, yeah, it's okay. We can, you know, realize that this game has maybe this thing in it and it's not necessarily woke. You know, it is what it is. But for now, yeah, gamers are going to be incredibly skeptical. And, you know, I guess I would say, if you're a developer, you put out the game you want to put out and just realize not everybody's going to be happy. It is what it is, right? You know, hopefully your sales are good. Looks like their sales are good. Now, you know, and if the gay sex scene is optional, I heard about that too. It's apparently the character's underage or something. So that's like, oh, well, that's kind of a, but of course, you know, Baldur's Gate, you didn't get that backlash, and you can literally fuck a bear, a gay bear, like an actual bear, not just a furry man. You literally can fuck a gay bear. Then, you know what I'm saying? And that wasn't, I don't think anybody was calling Baldur's Gate 3 woke. I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there, trying to be fair here, but there we go, guys. Culture war. I'm going to wrap it up. Please subscribe. We'll talk later.